Blog Talk Radio.
God, everyone, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome and good morning and welcome to The Apostle Speaks. My name is Evangelist Hilda. I am the co-pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC, and we are a church beyond walls. Today, we have our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. She is the elder of the House of Manessa Christian Ministries. She brings a word from God every Saturday morning at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So first, we would like to thank you for tuning in to The Apostle Speaks. Praise be to God. Today, our devotional message is entitled, Relax in My Presence, Peaceful Presence. Amen. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16, and the New King James Version. And it says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. Praise be to God. The second scripture reading is coming from Revelations chapter 17, verse 14. And it says, they will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And with him will be this call. His call, excuse me, chosen and faithful followers. Praise be to God. And my third scripture reading is coming from John 15, 13 through 15. And it says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. May the Lord richly add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and also the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Again, the title is Relax in My Peaceful Presence. Do not bring performance pressures into our sacred space of communion. When you are with someone you trust completely, you feel free to be yourself. This is one of the joys of true friendship. Though I am Lord of lords and King of kings, I also desire to be your intimate friend. When you are tense or pretentious in our relationship, I feel hurt. I know the worst about you, but I also see the best in you. I long for you to trust me enough to be fully yourself with me. When you are real with me, I am able to bring out the best in you, the very gifts I have planted in your soul. Relax and enjoy our friendship. I hope and pray that this devotional message was a blessing unto you as it was unto me. Amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God, is what our hearts
Amen. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, you are truly, truly welcome here. So, while we are waiting on our speaker for this morning, I will play another selection. Praise God.
Well, come on, put your hands together. If you know you're going high in Jesus, I know I am. Come on, listen.
Can't wait till I get up yonder. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Bible says in Romans 10, 14 through 15, in the New King James Version, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. At this time, our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins is going to come and bless our hearts this morning with a mighty word from God. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Yes, yes. Woo, God bless you, Apostle Mother Wiggins. How are you this morning?
I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you this morning, Evangelist Hilda?
Blessed, thank you. To God be the glory.
That's right. Amen. God be the glory and the honor. Amen.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen. Praising.
I don't know what we do without God, I'm telling you. Praise the Lord.
I don't think we would be existing.
I'm telling you. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I just want to turn and say good morning to our radio listeners out there. We acknowledge your presence.
Amen.
And we're so glad to have you on board this morning.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise God. And I just want to let you know that our pastor and his lovely wife, Nadine, they send you their blessings and they send you their love.
Amen.
And they hope that all is well with you and your family. All of us do. Amen. And that you're finally getting adjusted as this during the last part of this pandemic. Amen. Praise God. So we just hope that all is well with you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And I just want to thank Evangelist Hilda. Amen. At how she carries on, amen, from Tuesday to Saturday, and she opens up the program, amen. She brings a talk in the sanctuary, and she also brings a word, amen. Could be Thursday and Friday she brings a word, amen. So we just want to thank God for her, amen, and thank God for Sister Barbara, amen.
Amen.
Who brings a lesson on Wednesday, I believe. She brings a lesson. Amen. And she's going to be on right after this with poetry, some beautiful poetry. She's going to be on right after this. So you don't want to miss that poetry. Amen.
Amen.
And also we want to say our First Lady brings a lesson on a Tuesday. Our First Lady Nadine, she brings a lesson on Tuesday, and you don't want to miss that. Amen. It's from 7 to 8, I believe. Amen. And also, I want to give a shout out to Pastors Stephen and Kathy DeVoe, who's going to be on with Talk in the Sanctuary right after Sister Barbara.
Amen.
And we're going to be looking forward to whatever topic she's going to bring forth. Amen. Praise God. So right now, you know what I'm going to say. Oh, before I do that, I just want to give a shout out to Prophetess Washington, Dr. V. Turner, and Apostle Jackson. Amen. I want to give a shout out to them, their congregation, and their families, and we hope that all is well with them. Amen. Praise God. So right now I'm going to turn my attention to God. Amen. Abba Father. We'll turn our attention to Abba Father because he's the reason for everything that's happening with us. Amen. He's the reason for us being on this program. Amen. So we want to let God know how much we love, adore, and appreciate him. Amen.
Amen.
So every week, you know, I turn my attention to Father God, because without God, there is nothing without God. Amen. He's the one who brought in Jesus, the blood of the Lamb. Amen.
Yes,
who took on the sins of this world so that we might be able to enter in and have a personal and intimate relationship with God. Amen. So wherever you are, you could be in this country or any other part of the world. You could be in Africa. You could be in India. You could be in the Caribbean. You could be in America. You could be in Egypt. You could be in England. Wherever you are in this world, we're going to bow our heads to Father God. Amen. Praise
Amen.
God. As I say this prayer, and then after that I'll just sing a song of worship to God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So just bow your head while I say this prayer. Father God, I acknowledge your presence, and we give you the highest praise. You are the God that is full of love and compassion. During this pandemic, there are many countries that are going through hard times right now. They are suffering and in sorrow and pain over the loss of their loved ones, mm-hmm. over the loss of jobs, and the freedom to move about as they like. Their lives have become very disruptive. Many people have become distressed. Many people have become depressed. Some feel to hurt themselves or others. I bring them all before your throne today, Father. And I ask that you will build them up where they are torn down, strengthen and restore them, comfort them and give them hope of a brighter tomorrow, and also the government of each country. Help them all to come through this trying time. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Father God, whatever you do, we thank you for it. We also thank you for waking us up this morning in our right mind. Father, we thank you for helping us to endure throughout each and every day. We thank you that while we slept, you never slumber nor sleep. We thank you for everything, Father God, for no matter what we see, we have an assurance that you are still in charge no matter what we see. Amen.
Amen.
Or what we go through. So we thank you for all that you're doing for us in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen.
So right now I'm going to sing one song, amen, a praise and worship song. If you know the song, you can sing along with me, and if you don't know it, just listen to the words of the song. I used to love this song so much. I still love it, but I guess I sang it so much, you know. Amen. But it's a praise and worship song unto the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I worship you, Lord. I worship you. Oh, yes. The reason I live is to worship you. Oh, oh, yes. I worship you, Lord. I worship you. Oh, yes. The reason I live is to worship you. I worship you, Lord. I worship you. Oh, yeah, the reason I live is to worship you. Oh, oh, yes, I worship you, Lord. I worship you. Oh, yes, the reason I live is to worship you. I worship you, Lord. I worship you. Oh, yes, the reason I live is to worship you. Oh, oh, yes, I worship you, Lord. I worship you. Oh, yes, the reason I live is to worship you. Amen.
Amen.
And that should be one of our purposes, to worship the Lord. Amen. The reason that we live is to worship God, because he loved us, and He looked for us. He found us before we found him. Amen.
Amen.
So we should really be worshiping God. Every mouthful of food that we take, every breath that we breathe, every time we walk out into the sunlight, we should be worshiping God. Amen.
Amen.
In your time of sorrow, in your time of distress even, you should be worshiping God. Because he's the one that can really bring you out of whatever it is that you're going through. Amen?
Absolutely, amen.
Praise God. So right now I'm getting ready to go into this word, and I'm going to finish up what I did last week. And it was the thriving. Learn about thriving in difficult times. Thriving in difficult times. And the scripture reading that I was reading from was Philippians chapter 19, it was chapter 1, verse 19 through 30. 19 through 30. Amen.
Amen.
Where Paul is speaking to the Philippians, where he says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two." See, Paul is between death and life. You know, he would rather die. But he feels that if he stays with them, it'll be better.
Amen.
You see? For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. But he says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful to you. So instead of him concentrating on himself, he was concentrating on them. Amen. and what's Amen. Good for them. He was unselfish. Soul was unselfish. He says, And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. For me, by my coming to you again, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you or else be absent, I may hear that your affairs and that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So he want to let them know that whether he's there with them or not, he wants them to be united whether he's there or not. He don't want them to show that they're united while he's there and then do another thing when he's gone, when Amen. He's not there. Mm-hmm. He said, I want to know that when I'm not here with you, that you're striving, see, striving to be united, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You're of one mind together. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. Amen.
Amen.
So Paul is also suffering. He's telling them that they have to suffer also, you know, in Christ. It can't be always bed and roses or good times. There's going to be times when we are going to be suffering. And that goes for all of us. We're going to have good times, and there's times when we're going to be suffering,
mm-hmm.
suffering in the Lord. But the Lord said when we suffer that we should be rejoice and be glad when we're suffering, you know, as Christ suffered. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So today I'm going into we thrive when our character reveals Jesus in us. We thrive when our character reveals Jesus in us. Paul challenged to let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. That's what Paul was talking about. He wants your conduct to be worthy of the gospel of Christ. He was talking to them, the Philippians, he wanted them to stand fast in one spirit, unified, striving together for the faith of the gospel. During their trials and tribulations. So not only to stand fast in the good times, but stand fast in the bad times, times when they're suffering, times when they have trials, times when they have tribulation, and that goes for us also. He rejected fear as an option and told them to live like Christ, like Christians, no matter what they experience. Because, you know, we always have to remember that God is in charge. And he can take whatever looks bad and turn it into our good, for our good.
Amen.
Paul was more concerned. His followers reveal the character of God through their trials than they be delivered from their trials. See? In other words, when they're going through a hard time, they don't change. You know, because some people, when they're going through a hard time, after a while, they get to have an attitude towards God. You know, why isn't this changing? When is it going to be a change? You know what I mean? It might get so bad that they begin to develop, like I said before, attitude towards God. They get mad with God. They get angry with God, you know. But God is able to turn things around for our good. So Paul wanted them to have that same character of Jesus, even though they were going through a trial. Because you notice when Jesus was on the cross, and he was suffering real bad. He was saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Yes.
You know? And he was hurting. He was in pain. You know what I mean? And when when he was thirsty, they was giving him vinegar to drink. You know? They was giving him vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
And he took on our sins, but he wasn't guilty of any sin.
Amen.
He took on our sins.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, he did.
Choosing to live, to live your faith, means taking charge of your emotions. Choosing to live your faith means taking charge of your emotions, because you know when you're going through hard times, you can get through into emotional state. Because you want to know when it's going to be over. When is it going to end? Where's the solution?
Mm-hmm.
You know? But God is a solution. But a lot of times you got to wait on God's timing. You got to wait on his timing.
That's right.
And when you wait on his timing, things will turn out much, much better than if you went forth ahead of him and tried to take care of it yourself. Amen?
Amen.
It's better to wait on God's timing, even though you might be going through a difficult time.
Mm-hmm.
I know some of you out there will agree with me that you choose your behavior based on the word of God, not how you feel at the moment. You reject fear and cling to faith. Because God moves by faith and not by fear. Well, at least that's what you should be doing. Because I know probably there's some of you that is still in fear. You know what I mean? I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what your circumstance is. But whatever that might be, you might be in fear. You might be in fear of your life. Somebody might be threatening you. Somebody might be stalking you. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Somebody might be had kidnapped you and holding you as a prisoner somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I don't know what you're going on or going through, but God knows what you're going through. And if you call on God, he'll hear you. He hears you. You know what I mean? And he'll take care of it. Just ask him to take care of it, whatever situation you might be in. I don't know what that situation is.
God knows.
Okay, no matter what comes, you determine to act like the Christian you truly are, based on your actions, on fear, worldly advice, or ungodly advice. See, you're the one that makes the decision.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else can make that decision for you but you. You're the one that knows what you're going through. You're the one that makes a decision on whether you want to go with what God says or wait on God, or you want to take worldly advice, or whether you want to take ungodly counsel. See, we're supposed to seek godly counsel. Amen?
Yeah.
Godly counsel, not ungodly counsel.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to be led by the Spirit. Because when you accepted Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came to reside inside of you. And you should be hearing from the Spirit. If you have that deep relationship with God, you should be hearing from the Holy Spirit. You should be listening for his voice. Amen?
Amen.
You can't afford to depend on anyone else. You see, the Holy Spirit is the one that will lead you into all truth. He'll lead you into all truth. You might be confused about what's going on, but the Holy Spirit will bring you out of it. He'll lead you into all truth. See? So you are responsible for your own actions. You're responsible. The only way you can't be responsible for your own actions is if you have some kind of a mental problem. See? Or if you're really, really, really demon-possessed. You know what I'm saying? You might need somebody to pray for you and cast off that demonic spirit. You know, because sometimes a person is so deeply possessed by demonic spirit, you know what I mean, that they can't control. They need somebody really to pray for them and cast off that spirit that they have on them. But even the world knows this, that you're responsible for your own actions.
That's right.
When you go to court, the court knows that too, that you're responsible for your own actions. And the only way you wouldn't be responsible, like, is if you have a mental problem. Then that's something different. So let's look at we thrive by sharing in Jesus' sufferings. Christians are responsible to believe in Jesus and also to suffer for his name's sake. This suffering is real, a struggle that is agonizing and painful to endure. Sometimes you don't realize how painful that the struggle can get. You really don't know, you know. For Christians to share the suffering of Christ, of Jesus or Christ, we must go through hard times. We must feel pain, genuine pain from broken health and bad relationships. Sometimes you have a bad relationship and you end up with a broken heart. You know, it didn't go as you thought it would go. You didn't go as it planned, or you get married to somebody, and that didn't go as you planned. You know what I mean? You end up with a broken heart. You see?
Mm-hmm.
We may also be persecuted or treated unfairly because of our faith.
Yes.
And you know that Christians are being persecuted all over the world because of their faith, and treated unfairly.
Yep.
Sometimes the church that they're going to in another land is being burnt down. You know?
Mm-hmm.
When you suffer, remember how Jesus suffered.
Yes.
For you. No one likes to suffer, but hard times are inevitable. So let them remind you of Jesus' death on the cross. Let your suffering remind you of Jesus' death on the cross and your part in it. You know, when you suffer, you know, sometimes you say to God, you say, well, why me? You know, I used to say that sometimes. I say, why me, Lord, you know? And he said, why not you? And he'll remind you how Jesus suffered. Amen.
Amen.
So keep this in view. By keeping this in view, it gives meaning to your trials and help you remember what Jesus went through on our behalf. No Christian is exempt from sharing pain similar to that endured by Jesus. The world also suffers in the same areas we do. But the difference is that we have God. We have Jesus and we have the Holy Spirit. We have angels and the warring angels on our side. We have a guardian angel. And no matter what, we always come out the winner. And Satan is a defeated foe. So no matter how you suffer, you know, you always come out the winner, and Satan becomes a defeated foe. So my conclusion is, thriving, not just surviving hard times, is possible. When health fails, relationships struggle, or circumstances seem out of your control, God is still at work. Trust him and use the spiritual resources he's provided to sustain you. As it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, that's Matthew 5, verse 11, it says, this is Jesus speaking, and he says, God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all manner of evil things against you, because you are my followers. That's what Jesus says. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember the ancient prophet that persecuted in the same way. I hope you enjoyed this message today, and I turn it now back in the hands of Evangelist Hilda. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. I'm sorry. I apologize. We wanted
That's
to
all right.
Mother Wiggins. You know, people call at the wrong time, when, but they don't know what
Amen.
When they call it. So we want to thank Apostle Mother Wiggins for that wonderful word this morning. I think that deserves a hand clap praise. Be to God. So before we have Apostle Mother Wiggins give us the call to salvation and the benediction, at this time our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our poetry at this time. So we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen.
Good morning. How are you all?
Good morning. Blessed.
Oh,
bless.
Good morning.
Good morning. Wonderful sermon this morning, Mother. I didn't hear all of it, but I got some key points. Thank you for that.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to be reading a poem that I wrote the other day, July 5th, and it's entitled Unfettered, Unchained, Unbound and Free, Yet Still Fighting for Our Rights and Equality. So you, black man, you think that you're free. Uh-huh. Well, at least in your mind, generally, if you want to be. Uh-huh. You quoted scripture, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Yeah, say so. There ain't nothing like freedom and liberty. Come on, black man. Examine your freedom along with me, if you can. Would you tell me all the ways that you think you're free? Are you free to, say, jog like Ahmaud Arbery, to go wherever you want? Evangelist, I'm hearing an echo in the background. Am I coming through clearly?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, if you can numb the echo, I would love that even more.
All right, maybe it's the...
Are you free to say, jog like Ahmaud Arbery, to go wherever you want to, doing whatever you need to do at any time you please? The echo, the echo, the echo.
Okay, so then... all right, I thought it was my air purifiers, but it's not. It's... Mother's phone. I'll just mute her.
Thank you.
Okay, so Savannah, go ahead.
Thank you. Wherever you... Let me see. Let me start all over.
Okay.
Unfettered, unchained, unbound, and free. It's still an echo there.
and it's on your end then.
Okay. So maybe it's my Bluetooth.
Is this better? Unfettered, unchained, unbound, and free. How's that?
It's fine.
Hello?
It's on your end. It's not on ours.
Yeah, but I'm saying I don't hear it now, so it's better, apparently.
Okay, so that's because I put myself and mother on mute.
Okay.
All right.
Unfettered, unchained, unbound, and free, yet still fighting for our rights and equality. So you, black man, you think that you're free. Uh-huh. Well, at least in your mind, generally, if you want to be, uh-huh. You quoted scripture, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Yeah, say so. There ain't nothing like freedom and liberty. Come on, black man. Examine your freedom along with me. If you can, would you tell me all the ways that you think you're free? Are you free to, say, jog like Ahmaud Arbery, to go wherever you want to, doing whatever you need to do at any time you please? And after having shot and killed, being charged with being a burglar, intruder, or a common thief? Are you free, black man, to rest at night in your own bed, at home, out of sight? Then, while sleeping, being disturbed, you're shot dead by the police. Ask Breonna Taylor. She can attest to that fact, except she was shot dead, while innocently asleep in a bed. Enough said? No, wait. Are you free to be in a relationship or to marry outside your own race, to be seen with a Caucasian, in and out of the way place or places? Hold on one second. Okay. Sorry about that. Just making a note on certain things. To be seen with the Caucasian in and out of the way places. Where, like, anywhere, say in Georgia or Kentucky, you know the places. That could be anywhere USA, wherever. If you're black and she's white, it's crazy. Trust me, brother, you know it just isn't right. Some folks won't like that. Some others will frown, stare, and glare. Some, dear heart, won't even really care. It's not fair. Neither is life. But I'm attempting to make a point right here. Hang in there and listen if you dare. That's what I mean, see? We are not really 100%. We are not really totally 100% free. Okay, right, in the mind. Yet that's not enough for me. I get it. That's about being spiritually free. Nothing wrong with that. Allow us to think for a minute. Let me do a wicked Wilson Pickett. Think. Remember the murder of George Floyd? Think about the protest of NFL player Colin Kaepernick or Gwen Berry, Olympian hammer thrower and runner in field and track. Is she for real? Try taking a knee or turning your back as our American national anthem is being played on center stage. Protest if you want. I don't think you will. You think that you're free, black man. So be still or try it. You'll see what you get. Share what you know, because that freedom you speak of, I don't see, actually. Unfettered, unchained, unbound, and free, yet still fighting for our rights and equality. Man, that's not free. Equality, voting rights, equality. Black man, uh-huh. That is indeed more of what we now need in order to be truly free, equal rights and equality. And my scripture comes from Habakkuk 2, verses 2 through 3, and also from John. I'll read you John when I get to John. Okay. Ooh, I missed something and all of that. Okay. I'll go back to the scripture, even though I missed a page. Habakkuk 2, verses 2 through 3 in the King James Version reads, "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." And John 8 and 32 reads, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And it is so. Amen.
Amen. That was very nice. Yeah, that was good.
Amen. Praise be to God. And now,
and I skipped the whole page, but I'll, God willing, I'll read the whole five pages tomorrow.
Okay, so at this time, Apostle Mother Wiggins is going to give us the, God bless you, Pastor Kathy. We're running a little behind schedule, but we are, Mother's getting ready to give the call to salvation and the benediction, and then after that, we'll go right into our lessons, our talking this
evening. Amen. Thank you. It's not a problem. Not a problem at all. Thank you.
Oh, okay. In your hands,
well,
Mother.
If there's anybody out there who want to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, now is the time to do so. Amen. Because God has made an opening right now. Amen. All you have to do is repeat these words after me. Today I give you my heart, wash it and cleanse it.
Today I give you my heart, wash it and cleanse it.
I repent of my sins and I ask your forgiveness.
I repent of my sins, and I ask your forgiveness.
I thank you for forgiving me, Lord, and I forgive myself.
I thank you for forgiving me, Lord, and I forgive myself.
I believe that you raised your only son, Jesus, from the dead.
I believe that you raised your only son, Jesus, from the dead.
I now take him into my heart.
I now take him into my heart.
And I confess him as the Lord and Savior over my life.
And I confess him as the Lord and Savior over my life.
If there's anybody out there who have said this short prayer, we welcome you into the body of Christ. Amen. And when you said that prayer, something happened. Amen. The Holy Spirit came to reside inside of you. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the divine teacher. If you don't have a church home, just ask him to lead you to the right place. Amen. Where you can hear the word, where you can mature, where you can have a fellowship with other believers. Amen. And again, we welcome you into the body of Christ. Amen. As it says in Joel chapter 2, verse 12, the Lord says, "Turn to me now, while there is time." God says, "Give me your heart."
Yes.
So may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another, and let us all say, amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Now we are going to welcome Pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry, who is going to come with our talk in the sanctuary. So we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen.
Thank you.
Pastor Kathy.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. God bless you guys. God bless you guys. I'm looking all around. God bless you guys. Thank God for another wonderful, wonderful Saturday morning, afternoon, wherever you are. Just thank God for being here. Oh, we have an awesome topic today. It's challenging, a little challenging, I think, for us, but it's still an awesome topic. But before I get into the topic, precious and Heavenly Father, just want to say thank you, oh God, for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to be. Thank you, oh God, for always being by our side. When we look to the left, when we look to the right, whichever area we choose to look in, we can always find you there. And for that, we are forever grateful. You said you stick closer than a brother, closer than a mother, closer than a father, and you have. And for that, we say thank you. Thank you for never leaving us. Even when we have given you reason to leave our sides, oh God, you are still there loving on us. And for that, we honor you. We glorify you. There is none like you, oh God, for all that you've done, doing, and are going to do. We bless your holy name. We invite you into this conversation and ask that you have your way, oh God, that the discussion would be talked about in love, and everyone is going to get something out of it, and no one will be offended, and you and only you will be glorified. We ask all of these blessings in the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless the fivefold leaders. Thank God for all of you.
Amen.
Ooh, God bless you this morning, Mother. God bless you, Sister Barbara, Evangelist Hilda. God
bless you
guys. Being on the line.
Thank you, God bless you.
My goodness. I think I heard Mother say in the prayer of salvation, I think I heard her say, Lord, forgive me and I forgive myself. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that I've heard that often, that when someone's praying the prayer of salvation, that they'll say, and I forgive myself. Mm-hmm. And I think that should be added, because a lot of times, even after God has forgiven us, we have a hard time forgiving ourselves, letting
that's
it
true.
Go, you know? So I think that's a big part of forgiveness. And I want to go as far as to say, God wasn't talking about him forgiving, because he already knew. You asked for it, you've been forgiven. He's really, I think he's trying to instill it in ourselves for us to forgive ourselves, right? We hold on to that thing and we say, God has forgiven me because I did this, I did that, I did this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really us. We're the ones that haven't forgiven ourselves.
Yes.
So that was good. I like that. I think we ought to incorporate that. So the person coming in know that one of the biggest steps they need to take is to forgive themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Try to see.
Pastor Kathy, could I say something there?
Yes, ma'am.
I heard a pastor say that we don't have the power to forgive ourselves. You know, he was talking on it, and he said we don't have the power to forgive ourselves. So I wonder if that's
true. What's your take on that,
Mother? I mean, well, I think that if you don't forgive yourself, you know what I mean, you forgive everybody else and you don't forgive you, and you're still holding something even though you ask God to forgive you, that's not good. Because you're still holding on to something that you don't. Because I know I had a man on one time, and he said he can't forgive himself, so he wouldn't say it.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that, Evangelist Hilda?
Yes, yes.
A man had come on, and he said he can't forgive himself.
Right. He can forgive everybody else, but he cannot forgive himself.
So I don't know. Maybe
why?
I don't know.
But
maybe we don't have the power to forgive ourselves. I'm not sure.
Okay, hold that thought. Sister Barbara, what's your take on that?
About forgiving yourself?
Yes.
Yes. Do we have the power to forgive ourselves?
I don't know if we have the power, but that's the way to kind of get over being upset or whatever with somebody else. Like, we all know that forgiveness is not for the one that's being forgiven. It's for the forgiver, the one that says, I forgive you. That's who it's for.
Evangelist Hilda, what's your take on forgiving yourself? You think you got the power to forgive yourself?
I don't know,
but I think that if we ask God to forgive us and we don't forgive ourselves, then how do we expect anybody else to forgive us? Because it's that only God has the power to forgive.
But I think too that we need to put God first to say that God will forgive us. You know what I mean?
Always.
If we just forgive us ourselves and we don't ask God to forgive us, then we don't have that power. But I think if we ask God and say, "Would you forgive us? Forgive me," and then you're holding something for yourself too, and say, "Well, I forgive myself." You know, but if you don't want to say it in that. You know what? The time you're asking God to forgive you, don't have to say it then. You could say it another time. You know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Amen. How many of you guys on the line are saved?
I'm saved.
Yeah. All of us.
You saved, Evangelist Hilda?
Oh yes.
Okay. How many of you believe in the Holy Ghost? Holy Spirit.
I do.
In the Holy Spirit. Yes.
Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost.
So Bob, would you believe?
Yes.
Okay. If you are saved and you believe in the Holy Spirit and the power therein, you have the power that was given to the other disciples to do what Jesus did. So you have the power to forgive yourself.
The same power that it requires of you
to forgive somebody else is the same power that it's going to take for you to forgive yourself.
All right.
Amen. Praise
Come on
God.
Now.
Amen.
Don't let the devil duke us. We have the power. Now, we need God to forgive us first. We definitely need that. But we have the power to forgive ourselves.
Wow.
Come on now.
That was within.
Amen.
Yeah, that's true.
Amen.
You know, and if we don't forgive ourselves, we
ever got on that
Spirit,
pulpit or stood in front of that church and said, we don't have the power. Well, then we'll never forgive ourselves because we don't got the power.
He said we don't have the power to forgive ourselves. I was saying, okay.
That is not good teaching because I'm sitting here going, wait a minute, I got the Holy Ghost. I'm saved.
That's right.
And if I'm saved and I got the Holy Ghost, then I got everything the disciples had back then. And back then Jesus told them, I've given you the power that it took for me to do what I'm doing. So they had the power. We got the power.
That's true.
And he had the power to forgive. So we have the power to forgive. Now, whether we do it or not, that's a whole nother story, but we have the power to forgive ourselves.
And doesn't that affect the Holy Spirit if we don't forgive ourselves?
Absolutely.
That affects the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Absolutely. Because when he came to give us power. That's what Jesus told the disciples. Don't do it until he comes because he's going to give you power. Is that not what he said?
Power.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's
so if he gave us power, what he gave us the power to do? Just sit there with the power?
Oh, no. Wow, that is something.
It's funny how he gave power to tread on scorpions.
Yeah.
Yet we don't have power to
forgive
ourselves. Come on now.
So it depends on your
perspective.
Same on the Pastor. I was listening to him talk.
When you put it that way, Pastor Kathy, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
You put it like
okay.
that. Amen.
One of the things that God tells us to do is he said, in all thy getting, get understanding.
Understanding.
If you don't understand it, you can't apply it. If you don't apply it, it's if you don't have it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
And I understand. I got some power. I don't know about anybody else. I got power. If I will forgive
Amen.
You for slapping me inside the head, I surely can forgive myself for some things I done done.
I'm telling you.
Got somebody jumping in the head, kick me in my chest, and I got the power to forgive you for kicking me in my chest. You think I ain't going to forgive myself?
Mm-hmm.
And I heard Sister Barbara said, the forgiveness is not for you. It's not for the person you're forgiving. It's for you. I said to myself, exactly. So forgive
mm-hmm.
me that. Do that for you. Forgive your own self.
Move on.
Amen. Praise God.
Good. That's good stuff. You know, I'm so glad God is still educating us. I am
Amen.
So grateful for the teacher that we have on board. He
Amen.
Is sitting there going, Jesus, I taught her that. I taught her that. You know, that he would be the Holy Spirit. I taught her that. I taught her that. Well, thank you for teaching me.
Teaching
me.
You see, the wonderful thing that I've learned years ago, my pastor, who was a female, and she told me, she said, Kathy, you're going to go through what I'm going through. I said, oh, my Lord, that is no blessing. What is that you're telling me?
Mm-hmm.
She said, you're female, aren't you? Uh-huh. In a world that don't really accept females in that capacity yet. Uh-huh. So how is that encouraging me to keep going? She said, haven't I kept going? Look at me. Look at the congregation that God has blessed me with. Come
mm-hmm.
on now.
Mm-hmm.
So you keep going. You do what God has called you to do. But one of the things she taught us a long time ago is just because someone is sitting in a position doesn't mean everything coming out of their mouth is right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's true.
You better check with God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they talking about God. They say, well, God said, and God will, and God can't. Well, you better check with God to make sure you know for yourself it to be a fact.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And when they told me that, I said, what you said? She said, and every prophet, liar, sire, whatever, you ain't got mm-hmm. to accept every prophecy coming across on you. Let your spirit
mm-hmm.
confirm it, embrace it before you go running
mm-hmm.
with it. I
Amen.
Said, all right now.
Because
you know back then, and I don't know that it's as much so now, but back then, people were prophesying, lying all over the place. They just giving the word. People was hungry for the word. Itch your ears. And they just prophesying. Woo! They could look at you and start prophesying. I went to a church a couple of weeks ago, and that's all she did. Her biggest thing was, didn't I tell you God was going to do it? And what did he do? He did it. Didn't I tell you God was going to do it? And what did he do? He did it. So she was up in the front and she looked at me. She said, what do you want from God? I said, oh, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I said, she said, what are you asking God for? I said, nothing. She said, no, what are you asking God for? I said, nothing. She said, what do you want from God? I said, I want him to use me. That's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I can't even get rid of the tape. I go to sleep. I wake up, I know I feel like Jeremiah. I all I could think about is just preacher. That's all I ask. Will you use me? So she ran over to me and her armor bearer came to her sister and she said, God said he gonna give you more than you ever had.
Mm.
I said, oh, bless the Lord. Oh my soul. Thank you. Bless you. Yeah. Because
mm-hmm.
my thing is, I know prophecy is different than just a word of knowledge, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Or just a blanket statement that could fit anybody. I know what prophecy is coming for because that thing starts ringing down in my spirit. But I accept the blessing that you've bestowing upon me. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just said, oh, bless the Lord. Thank you. She said, oh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I said, okay, now. Thank you. You know? And so she was running around and she was doing it to everybody. But here's the thing that got me, and I'm not really, I wasn't comfortable with it, but that's how they do it there. Every person that she went up to,
mm-hmm.
it, rather than her just standing in front of them and stay down low, she would whisper in their ear.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I don't know. That's making me uncomfortable. I don't like all that. You know, she would just whisper in their ears. And I'm saying, I've seen many of prophetic word come forth, and I can't say prophets because sometimes a prophetic word has come forth and that person did not operate as a prophet. God just used them in the moment to speak a word. And I've seen them come forth with a prophetic word, and they didn't whisper in your ears. They just said it where only you can hear. But they were looking right at you. They didn't have to come in your ear, put their hand up, and whispered in your ear.
Mm-hmm.
I said, if that's the case, save it for later. If you got to, you want to tell them something, tell it to them later. It's a secret.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could stand, I know I could stand in front of a person and God telling me to tell them something. I can say it to them when nobody else hears and I ain't got to put my hand over my mouth and act like I'm whispering. So, but it made me a little uncomfortable, but said it to the people, and then he said it a few times, and then she had them come up like 2-3 times, and then I had to charge it to her age and what was going on, because I could see when she started repeating herself and bringing them up there over and over to say the same thing, I said, oh, okay. Because she looked like she was about 90.
Wow.
You know, but because she kept repeating the same things over
same
and over,
thing.
Then I understood. But I, the thing that blessed me is that the people in there felt they were being blessed. They felt being blessed. And I said, this church is for them, but it's not for me. Because they were sitting in this little light of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, no, I can't go back to this little light of mine. You know, that was the teaching. So if you hear songs like this little light of mine, and bless the pastor hard, she sat there, she was going tink, 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 tink on the keyboard. I said, now, I have a prayer now. I'm asking God to send you a musician. And she's going to say, she needed help, needed some backup. But it was a nice little church, and everybody was warm, and I just didn't like the whispering. I said, why you got to do that? But anyhow, so now I want to get into the topic. So what do we have, everyone?
Power.
Power to forgive.
Yes, we have the power. The Holy Ghost is saying, well, why am I any of you ain't got no power? We got power. Come on now, we got power. That's why God's still educating us. He said they don't know what they got sitting there with all that treasure. Okay, so now we know we got power, and we can stop letting the devil duke us. And, ooh, thank you, God. That's going to take us right into the topic for today. The topic for today is, guess what we're going to be doing? We're taking self-evaluation or self-examination. All these questions are about self. Me, myself, and I. Ooh, okay, here we go. Let's see what I want the first question to be. Okay, this is an easy one. This is an easy one. If there is a Bible character that you can identify with, who would it be? So who in the Bible closely relates to you and your character? Whether someone told you that or you know it to be so or you think it to be so, who in the Bible, their character closely relates to yours? Let's go with Sister Barbara.
I never really given it any thought, but maybe Esther.
Okay. What's the time is this? Okay.
If I perish, I perish.
Yeah. You've been set up. Okay. Let's go to Apostle Mother Wicked.
I don't know. Sometimes I think of Job or either Paul.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Okay. Evangelist Hilda, who do you see yourself as?
You're thinking of Job?
No idea, but if I was, I would say... more like Moses.
Okay.
Because, you know,
all right,
Moses,
now.
Moses was always like, I can't. Yeah. He had
oh,
to
that
be.
Part of Moses. Okay.
Yeah, that part
okay.
of Moses. Not, oh, come on, not that other part. Fearful, you know, like. Afraid to take chances, afraid to do.
Well, things. If you see yourself as Moses, yeah, then I don't think that I'm equipped to do the work that you're calling me to do.
Right.
But at the same time, God's still using you to do it.
Yes. There you go.
Okay, Moses. Moses, Paul, Job, who was the other one? Esther. They pulled out the good ones. Yeah, all of those are the good ones.
Oh, okay.
Those are the good ones. I would say Ruth. I would say Joseph, and I would say Paul.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I would say. Okay. Now, if you want to explain why you said it, fine. If not, we're going to move on. Okay. What is the hardest thing? What is hard? Oh, let me say it. What is hard about accepting yourself? Apostle Mother Wiggins.
What is hard? Oh, you mean accepting myself?
Mm-hmm.
I accept myself. I don't know. I don't know what's hard. I
okay.
think that I'm wonderfully made by God. That's why I guess I love myself.
Okay. Sister Barbara, what's hard about accepting yourself?
I accept myself also. I mean, the body is changing as I get older, but I still have
mm-hmm.
to... accept myself.
Okay.
I still love you.
Angela Hilda, what's hard about accepting you?
Who I accept me, honey, for who I am and for who
all
God
right.
has made me to be.
Okay.
Okay. All righty. Let me say that might have been a trick question. Me, I'm with everybody else. It ain't hard to accept me. I accept myself. I'm with everybody else. I accept me.
Amen.
Okay. If there's one thing that you could change instantaneously about yourself, what would it be and why? Let's go to Evangelist Hilda first.
Yeah. The question is, if there is one thing that I
one
could,
thing that you could change instantaneously about yourself, what would it be and why?
Let's see. Wow, that one is like, okay, what can I change about myself? Actually, you mean physically or
whatever you want to change about yourself, what would it be?
Actually, nothing. Like I say, I am good just the way God has made me.
Okay.
He has changed my life. And when I gave my life to him, he changed it. So I don't see anything that needs to be changed.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to be truthful.
Okay.
I'm truthful with you. I know, you know what I mean? Well, I've gotten up in age now. And sometimes I'm around here sitting down and I want to do something. You know, I wanted to, there's things that need to be done. And I get frustrated. So I said, but you know, God knows best. And I just saying to myself, I said, if you could let me walk some, I could do a few things in his house. I said, I have to sit here and look at everything, just go down the drain. It's like, that is just a waste of time. But you see, God sees things in a different way, you know?
Yes.
Sometimes when people they'll come in, you know, to help me, so say, let them do it. And I get upset, you know, because sometimes I want to do something. I said, well, I'm just sitting here. I'm not doing anything. But if I wanted to change something, it would be to walk better. Walk better. But God knows best.
Absolutely.
Okay. Sister Barbara?
Well, when I was younger, I wanted to be older. And now that I'm older, I wouldn't mind being younger. However, God has me right where he wants me to be. So I can't complain. You know, I think about, you know, if I had been younger, I would have missed a lot of things that I've been able to observe, you know, in life, historically, you know, personally or whatever. And so he has me where I need to be. That's just
it. Amen.
We're never satisfied.
No, we're not.
True.
Okay. For me, I would say, my feelings being worn on my sleeve. A lot of time I get offended quickly, and sometimes I'm offended and it's not what was intended, what I'm thinking. So I would say an adjustment with my feelings. And then, too, if he could take some of this weight off me, I'd be all right. Okay, so those are mine.
That's doable. That's doable.
You would have to mention the weight part, right?
Yeah. Okay, so now, do you have role models in your life, and why are they your role models? Let's go to a part from Mother Wiggins.
Well, my mother was my role model. You know, my mother, she was my role model. You know, she taught me about telling the truth, you know, and I never heard her talking, you know, behind people's back. Whatever way they saw my mother, that's the way my mother was, just like that, you know. She loved the Lord. Even though she didn't go to churches, you know, she was very, you know, she didn't like the way some of the pastors lived and stuff like that. But my mother was really, she was my role model, really. My mother, yes, she was.
Okay. Yes. Mr. Barbara?
Well, I guess my aunt and my grandmother in particular, and of course Jesus,
Amen.
Amen. That's it.
Okay, Evangelist Hilda.
Amen. I had two role models in my life, and I still have one role model left. My first role model was my mom's. My mom's taught me basically, things about life in general. My grandmother taught me about living life, how to, work on a, well, at that time I was living in the on a farm, and she taught me how to work, how to keep a house clean, how to cook, take care of other people, and all of that good stuff. And then I have my other role model is Apostle Mother Wiggins, who taught me about Jesus, and basically good things about life and what to expect, what not to expect. I mean, like now, I truly appreciate everything that she has done for me, everything that she's doing, and, everything that she has taught me during the time we were together going to church and singing and preaching in the subways and staying at rehearsals, how to stay on your notes. I mean, it's like such a blessing. So I was truly blessed by these three women in my life, and I love them to death.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank God.
It's the truth.
Okay, wonderful.
Amen.
I have had some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful role models in my life. Of course, Jesus was a wonderful role model. Even when I didn't know he was a role model.
Amen.
I have to say he was awesome in his teaching when he was here, and, what he left for us to pick up after him. So, yes. And then I had my mother. My mother taught me how to be a woman. My stepmother taught me how to be a lady. A lot of female pastors in my life, and a lot of people don't understand. My mother taught me how to be a woman, how to take care of your children, how to take care of your home, how to cook, how to clean the house, do all those things. And then my stepmother was teaching me how to be a lady, because she was into perfume, and she had to have her clothes a certain way, and she had to have her hair a certain way. So I was like, whoa, yeah. So I thank God for both of them. My father taught me independence, how to take care of myself. I had a lot of positive teachers in my life, positive people being role models.
That's beautiful.
So I'm grateful to God for all of them. Even the pastors that weren't so good, they taught me, right? People don't understand, even when you see negative stuff, you can learn from that.
Oh, yes.
Right? So I saw a lot of negative stuff, and I learned from it how not to be, what to stay away from. So I've had some really good teachers, and I'm not talking about the negative ones. I'm talking about the positive teaching and how to make it in this life and how to do things that are tender and kind and loving. Like that. I've had a lot of good teachers. So I thank God for that. Let's go to, because you already said it, so that one is picky. One of the things it was just saying is, what are some of the things you like about yourself? But all of y'all was like, I like myself. I love myself. So we know how you feel about yourself.
Love me,
Okay, here's a good one. How do you deal with the pressure and stress of this life? How do you deal with stress and pressure? What's a couple of things you do to deal with it?
For me, when I feel how I deal with this life is, when hard times come, I praise God. Good times come, I praise God. When my daughter gets on my last nerve and say things that really ticks me off, I just pray and ask God to give me the strength to deal with this child. Because, you know, sometimes people say things out of their mouth, they don't realize what they're saying. And I always taught her, think before you speak. Because once you put it out in the universe, you cannot take it back.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like, God, give me strength and patience. That's how I deal with things in life. When things go wrong, I don't like fly off the handle and get all crazy and like, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. No. I be just as calm and collected, and I listen. And then when I'm finished with the person, I go to the man upstairs and I talk with him. Because if it's something that I can't handle, I turn it over to him. And if it's something that, you know, I can handle, I still turn it over to him. So that's how I deal with this life. I don't let it bother me anymore. Nothing surprises you. Nothing.
Okay. Apart from Mother Wiggins, how do you deal with it?
Well, I agree with Evangelist Hilda. That's one of the things that I, you know, as you get older, nothing starts to surprise you, you know? And when I feel any kind of pressure or anything like that, any frustration, or I'm having a problem with anybody, I go to God. Mm-hmm. I go to the Holy Spirit. You know, I ask the Holy Spirit to help me to know how to deal with the person. You know what I'm saying? To help to seal my lips, to help me to bring out the right things to say, not. You know, because sometimes if you do it on your own, you're saying things that maybe you shouldn't have said, or you, like Evangelist Hilda said, you can't bring it back.
Exactly.
So I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, teach me how to respond to this person. Don't let me seal my lips. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? To help me not to say things that I shouldn't be saying. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So that's what I do, and I'll lay the person before God. That's what I do, because I know that He has the best solution to the problem. If the problem is very overwhelming, I'll just lay that person right before God, and I trust that He'll take care of it, because He can take care of the situation better than me.
Amen.
You know, He'll just work it out. He'll
Amen.
Work it out.
Yes, he will.
I had a problem with one of my caregivers, and he told me, he said, she's lying, and get rid of her. That's what God told me.
Mm-hmm.
He told me, get rid of her. She's lying.
That's right.
You know, because she was trying to, she did something. Yeah, because, you know, what I realized, that when you have people coming into your house, especially, well, it could be anybody. Sometimes the devil will use people coming into your house.
Oh, yes.
And you don't realize that it's demon, it's something demonic, you know what I mean? Because God has plans for you, you know what I mean? And so they'll try to stop what you're doing in order to stop God's purpose. So God will send demonic stuff into your home. People that, you know, they're led by not a good spirit. You know, you're led by not a good spirit. I had that happen to me a few times with people. But you see, I'm so glad I have the leading of the Holy Spirit, because He sure will alert you on stuff. He, you know, and I'm glad I have that this relationship with God. I really am. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Sister Barbara,
could you repeat the question again, please?
We are talking about, how do you deal with the stress and pressures of this life?
Okay. Because I had thought you said dislike at first.
This life.
The way that I deal with it is sometimes I get silent. Amen.
Yeah.
Sometimes I cry about it, not frequently. You know, you cry about it.
Yes.
I cry about it. And I pray about it.
Yes.
And so I've even reached out to the individual and been, you know, turned aside, not them being receptive to my trying to mend the relationship. And so you just, you know, dust your hands off and be like, okay, you know, I did what I had to do. They don't want to discuss it or forgive. That's it. I'm done. And I write about it. It gives me inspiration to write a poem about the situation. Amen. So it causes me to be creative in certain instances.
Well, that's beautiful.
Between praying about it and going to God and once in a while, like I said, trying to go to the individual, especially if they're close or you thought they were close or they're supposed to be a Christian. But sometimes you just got to let it go and just be like, God, you're in charge. If you want this to work, it's in your hands.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of times I get quiet. If it's someone over me, you know, like my employer or something like that, and I know I can't say anything or I'm going to be fired,
mm-hmm.
so I get quiet. There's times when I'll react to what's being said to me. There's times I'll start crying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I handle stress as best I can. My first thought should be to go to God, but I think my first reaction is to react to whatever's
mm-hmm.
being said to me. And that's why I said I don't want my feelings on my shoulders. So, but to the point that I'm stressed out, I don't think it stresses me out. I think it upsets me. Life has thrown me a lot of curveballs, but it doesn't seem to bother me as much as people's words. You know,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of times, I don't know why, but a lot of times I find that the most thing people attack me with is the ministry, you know, because
mm-hmm.
they really want to talk it to me then when they start saying, oh, you acting like a pastor, you know, and they coming at you like that.
Mm-hmm.
They really want to talk it to you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I think now, with God's help, I deal with things a lot better. I don't think the stress gets me because I've been hungry, I've been homeless and all that stuff. I think it's people's words that bother me more than anything, you know, and
mm-hmm.
don't start attacking the ministry side, you know, because I'm saying, wait a minute, that's my oxygen. What is wrong
mm-hmm.
with you people? You know,
mm-hmm.
but of course, it's my oxygen, so that's what they're going to do, go for the oxygen tank.
Yes.
You know,
mm-hmm.
but that's where they attack me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But if you were to do like we just did, we were kind of bouncing around, but taking a self-evaluation to say, God saying, I'm going to let you tell me right now whether or not you think you would make it into heaven right now if I can't. What would your answer be? It's only yes or no. It's not no. Why? Yes or no. Do you think you would make it into heaven? Yes or no. And if you don't want to answer, just say pass. Apostle Mother Wiggins.
Yes.
Sister Barbara.
Yes.
Evangelist Hilda.
Yes.
I know that's right. I certainly ain't going to say no. I'll be like, yes, Lord. I believe I'm heading for my man in the sky. And so with us saying yes, and just suppose we all said yes,
mm-hmm.
and God is saying no, no. You know how you'll know? Because he's going to show you all those things that you are doing that would keep you from getting in.
Mm.
Why? Because it's not his desire that we should perish. So
that's
we sit
right.
here saying, yes, I'm going to make it in. Yes, I'm going to make it in. Mm-hmm. And he's looking at us going, well, no, I still need you to take care of that and take care of that and deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
So what he'll do is now you're going to find in the next whatever time it takes, he's going to reveal some things to you about yourself that you need to take care of because he's trying to help you get in. Trust me, I know. I said I thought I was going to heaven, and he surely showed me I wasn't getting in. I said, oh, my Lord, what? Everybody else was just walking on in, and when I got to the gate, the angels arguing wouldn't let me in, and I said, who are they talking about? And there was nobody left out there but me. And I went, oh, my God, I can't get in. I can't get in. I tell you what. I woke up that morning, and anybody that know me that I did something to, I was, forgive me, I am so sorry. I went to everybody, and their mothers would say, I need to forgive. I need them to forgive me, you know. So God will show you. When you say, yes, I believe I'm going to heaven right now, just know in the next few days or whatever, he's going to show you whatever it is that would keep you from getting in. And it's a good thing because you want to take care of it now. You don't want to get to the pearly gates and find out you can't get in because no one ever gave you the opportunity to clear up that thing that you were doing to keep you from getting in. So because our God is in the saving business, he's going to reveal to all of us if there's anything in us that would keep us from getting in, just know, be looking for it. From now until whenever, he's going to let you know you need to clean this up. And he's going to reveal to you, show you, you know, and then you'll know, oh, wow, God help me give it that. God help me to give it that. God help me that. Yes, absolutely.
God knows we're not perfect. Not, I hate to hear people say, well, he knows I'm only, you know, that is to me an excuse. But I'm saying that to say that when we get to the pearly gates, when we get to heaven, I think as long as we have repented of the wrongs that we may have done, those of omission and commission, we should be all right because we are saved. And once you're saved, you can't become unsaved, from my understanding. So if we did something to do, you know, that might not be perfect, but none of us are perfect. We're not Jesus. But I think if we repent of anything that we even know about or don't know about, I think we'll be all right. What do you think?
Okay. Okay.
Because we can't go around chasing everybody. 1 minute. We can't go around chasing everybody that we, you know we did something wrong to. Some of them may have changed their phone numbers or died or, you know,
exactly.
Still won't respond. So,
yeah,
you still got that.
Right. Well, here's the thing. That was what was wrong with me. That may not be what's wrong with you or her. Right?
Mm-hmm.
This person could be a liar. This person could still be stealing. There could be other things wrong with other people. For me, that was my issue. I did not forgive people, you know, and I didn't ask to be forgiven. I was just going on doing what I ever did, you know, because I was young. But my thing is, that was my problem. That he showed me, I want you to clean this up. He may show others something else. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't believe in the once saved, always saved rule until you said, once we repent, once we come to God and seek forgiveness, right? That's the biggest thing. And we ask for forgiveness. Repent means while we're asking for forgiveness, that we don't do that thing anymore, right?
Right.
A lot of times people want to ask for the forgiveness and go back and do it again. Look what the Israelites did. They said, please forgive us, God, we sorry, went back and did it again. Please forgive us, God, we sorry, went back and did it again. Please forgive us, God, we sorry, went back and did it. Come on. So you know, I do believe that once we ask for forgiveness, he is a forgiving God. He'll forgive us. And I think as long as we're still here, we need to be repenting, meaning turning away from that situation and don't continue to do what it is that he just forgave us for. Don't keep doing it. You know, God is not a God to be mocked. So I do believe that once we ask for forgiveness, and that's the thing. I did have a dream that I was dying. And while I was dying, I was like, Lord, forgive me for this. Lord, forgive me for that. Forgive me, forgive me. And that was the same dream because when I got there, the angel said, she asked too late. And the other angel said, no. Father said, if they ask before they are completely gone, they can be forgiven. And they was going back and forth. And I said, who are they arguing about? And I looked, and it was me. But most people think once I'm saved, I'm always saved. And they forget about the repenting and that forgiveness and all
that's
of that.
True.
They still want to live the life they live. But I've been saved. No. You were saved, but you backslid all the way back because you never gave God the opportunity to clean you up. And while none of us is perfect, he still has the opportunity to show us those things that we have within our power to turn away from, to stop doing. We have the power to stop lying. We have the power to stop stealing. We have the power to stop being an adulterer. You know, some things are within our control. He says, I don't want you to live this way. I'm showing you those things that are displeasing unto me. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, he's going to clean us up. It's a process, but he's still cleaning us up because he doesn't want us to live like that. He don't want one foot in sin and one foot over here. I'm saved, but I'm in sin. No, you're going to straddle the fence. What he said, I'm going to spew you right out of my mouth. So you've got to make a decision, and then you've got to live by that decision. So, wow, this was wonderful. I thank all of you guys for participating, but right now we are out of time.
Could I say one more thing before you stop?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
One, it's not going to be long. God showed me something that I did through a pastor a day or so ago. You know, the pastor mentioned it. And I had asked forgiveness for everything, but that one thing I said, whoa. I never thought about asking forgiveness for that. I'm not going
to
say what it is.
You don't have to say what
it
is.
I repented yesterday for that thing. I repented.
And that's why he showed it to you.
Why?
Because he knew you didn't know and he needed you to repent from that.
That was one thing I forgot about. That one thing. And he showed me through a pastor. You know, a pastor was talking and he was talking about it. And I said, wait a minute. I used to do that. And I repented. I ain't going to say what it is now.
God showed you yourself so you can get yourself right with him. You won't be perfect, but you can get right. You can get some things right with him. Yeah. You can be found right then. Okay, if that's everything, because we only got 2 minutes, we thank God for everything that was shared. Sometimes it just pays to take a self-examination, you know, because you want to make sure, Lord, I want to make sure I'm all right with you. I want the same way you look at your spouse or your girlfriend or your whatever, and you say, I just want to make sure things are good with us. We're going to say that. God wants you to do the same thing with him. I want to make sure I'm good. I'm in right standing with you, right?
Yeah.
And for those of you that haven't accepted Christ inside your life, it is not too late. It is never too late. Unless you're not here anymore, but if you're still here, you got life, health, and strength, life in your body, you can just say, Father God, I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins. I believe that your son Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Come into my life, I will make you my Lord and Savior. And that's it. He simplified it so all of us can have an opportunity to come forth and give our lives to Christ. Why? He doesn't want to see any of us perish. He's not concerned with what you've done, what you're thinking about doing. All he's concerned with right now, because he's going to create in you a clean heart as soon as you accept him. So why not accept him today? Why keep putting it off till tomorrow? Look at some of the people that were putting it off to tomorrow, and tomorrow never came. Accept them today. It is not as bad as you think. God is a loving, forgiving, merciful God. He allows us to have fun. I enjoy my life. I do. There's some things I don't like, but for the most part, I enjoy my life. I really do. So we thank God. Stop being so afraid that I got to give up this. I got to stop doing this. I got to stop doing that. Whatever this, that is, that's between you and God. But don't let that be the reason you don't give your life to him.
Amen.
Right? He knows where you are. He going to meet you right where you are. You take that first step, he beat up, took 10. Why? Because he's going to help you every step of the way.
Amen.
Right? You're not going to be left to do it on your own. Precious and Heavenly Father, just want to say thank you again today. Thank you, oh God, for the self-awareness, self-evaluation, oh God, that we can come before the throne and say, Lord God, search me, know me inside out, show me what I need to take care of, what I need to come clean, or what I need to get back right into right standing with you. Show me myself, right? Put that mirror in front of me and let me see me so I can get me right. I'm not worried about anybody else because your concern is that we are concerned about ourselves. We can only fix us. We can't even fix us unless you help us and show us. So we thank you for today's lesson, oh God, the self-awareness, self-evaluation, because truly our ultimate desire is to be there with you in the kingdom, to make it into that mansion that our brother, our father, has gone ahead of us to prepare. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do. We bless your holy name, and we pray that everything we say, do, and think be found pleasing in your sight. And if it's not, help us with our thoughts. Help us with our actions. Help us with the things we say. Help us, Holy Ghost, that the Father may be pleased with the things we do. We ask all of these blessings. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Back to you, Evangelist Hilda.
Amen.
God bless you, lady.
Pastor Kathy?
Yeah?
Did your in-law find out about the seeds with his prostate cancer?
My sister looked it up, and she said, let me tell you this. He's walking in the flesh. He hasn't entered into the spirit realm yet. So he went back to his hometown in Mississippi to go tell everybody bye. And I was like, oh, God.
What?
And so that's why I said, when you pray that the first thing he do is to hear or listen for God's voice. But he's not right now. He's scared. And so he went home to love on everybody, whatever. But my sister says she did see it. And so she's been asking his doctor, whatever, about that. So the doctor said he will talk to her and him at the same time. He didn't want to scare with her. But she's like, whatever we can do, we don't got to take that surgery. But right now he's just scared. So he went home to love on his family. And then he'll be back next weekend, and we'll see what he does. And I'll let you guys know.
Thank you.
And your concern.
Wow. Praise God. On that note, I want to wish my oldest son a very happy, happy birthday.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah. Today is Stephen's birthday. He's 49 years old.
Wow.
Chill out. At 5:04 this morning, came into this world.
He is one of my praise reports.
He was a little peanut when he came in here.
Yes, he was. And I think about everything that kid has been through. If you see him now, he is such an awesome man of God. I'm trying to tell you. And that boy was crazy. He was borderline arrogant. He was doing all kind of stuff. He was,
you
know, 15 years old. I'm getting ready to drive my family back to my house because I lived in Connecticut at that time. And we all getting ready to jump in the cars and go down. So his dad's driving one, I'm supposed to drive one. So I tell him, I said, get in the back. He said, I'm getting in the back or you're getting in the back. I'm driving you or you ain't got no license. Get your butt in the back. And he's sitting there. No, I'm driving.
My son learned how to drive when he was like 11, 12 years old up in
That's what my father did to us. He taught us when we were kids.
White Plains Road with the Jamaican posse. They taught him how to drive. Yes.
Well, my daddy taught us at 12 because he said you wait till you get too old, you'd be too scared. And so while we were so gun-ho,
exactly.
And like I told y'all, he taught me independence. He taught us how to take care of ourselves. So
yes.
12, 13, we were driving to the grocery store in Long Island. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
I thank God for Stephen and Deacon Stephen for being his birthday. And
yes.
He is doing a marvelous job there with his daughters and his wife.
His
he
oldest
is such
daughter,
an inspiration to other young men there. He really
is. She's getting ready to next month to go to college.
Oh, he's going to seminary.
Huh?
The daughter.
Is he going to seminary?
No. She's going to right to college to become whatever.
Oh,
you're
saying she? I thought you was talking about Deacon. Okay.
Oh,
ooh,
he's
going to be praying. That's wonderful. Look at everybody doing their thing.
Exactly.
How awesome is that? Especially when we hear young people following God and just on fire for God.
Yeah,
you know,
she was
especially
like,
if it's one of yours. Ooh, you really want to jump. Don't let
absolutely.
One of mine tell me, Ma, I'm over here doing this for Jesus. I'm going to roll around on the floor, run up and down the street, blow horns. I'm about to ask the fool. I'm waiting for my day. Well, we bless God. Yeah, hey, every time my son said, Ma, you ain't going to believe what God did. I said, oh, he's getting closer. He's getting closer, Lord. He's getting closer. So we thank God. Let's just keep praying for the young folks. That's all I can say.
Amen. Mother, I saw your two
bless
little grandsons
God.
Yesterday. Or your,
oh,
yeah,
they did?
Not your great-grands, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we was at rehearsal last night.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my
so
goodness.
So Rashawn brought the two boys. Ooh, they're so big and
wonderful.
They're so handsome.
Wow.
Getting bigger.
Can they sing?
They were singing Mary Had a Little Lamb, and they were playing the piano and the keyboard.
Oh, well.
Okay. Hey, that's how they started on Sister Act. They were singing Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Yeah. Grandpa was teaching them how to sing.
That was wonderful.
Yeah, you know what song that they really loved was Every Praise.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah, that's cool.
Oh, man, they were down into that Every Praise. The 2-year-old, I think, he was singing Every Praise, and they clapping their hands, and it was a nice rehearsal. It really was.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's
they
good.
Enjoyed themselves.
Yeah.
All right, I got to get off the line, y'all. Love you guys. Have a great
Love
Saturday.
You too. See you tomorrow morning.
Have a blessed
afternoon.
One.
Thank you.
God willing.
God
have a blessed one, Mother.
Okay.
Have a blessed
God
day,
bless
Mother.
You
Love you.
You too.
Shalom.
Love you all.
Shalom, everybody. And on that note, we are going to leave out of here with All Belongs to You. Have a blessed day. Love you.
Okay. All right.
All the honor. Belongs to you. I can't help but want. Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.